Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Everybody talking about everything. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. Can we talk about Jesus Christ? We need a song about Jesus. Scripture for today, it comes from Psalms 100. Psalms 100, Old Testament. As we start day 22 of Christian fellowship. Hallelujah. Psalms 100 reads, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. All the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalms 100. What if we all took a moment right now and the whole earth, the entire earth, began to shout for joy to the Lord? So in the midst, instead of shouting at each other, in the midst of the sorrows, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the turmoil, your reigns, the whole earth, hallelujah, come together as one and shout for joy to the Lord. If we all begin to worship the Lord with gladness and then come before him with a joyful song, we all got a song in our hearts. That trial, that thing that keeps pulling you down, that thing that won't let you get up and do what you need to be doing. What if you turned it into a song? And through that song and through that situation, you began to find a way to shout for joy to the Lord. Even through that trial, that triumph, as you triumph over your trials. Hallelujah. And through it all, through our joyful song, we remember and know. Just like I know today is Monday. And I know that my name is Minister Von Dillness. I know this. Know that God is Lord. That Lord is God. Jesus is God. That Jesus is the one and only way to our Father. I know the Trinity is real. I know that it is he who made us. I know that we are his. I know that we are his people. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. I know I am the sheep of his pasture. Can you say that? In your pasture, wherever it is you're at today, do you know that you are the sheep of Jesus, pastors? He's your shepherd. He's watching over you. He has given you the options, the ability to choose. But he's your shepherd. He said, because I give you the ability to choose life, to choose the things that you're going to do in life, I want you to surrender those things back to me. I'm still here. I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. I'm still your shepherd. It's still my job to be there for you. Will you come to me? Will you come to me? Will you be a part of me? Will you run to me? Will you search for me? Will you long for me? Will you long to be in my presence? In the midst of that situation and you don't know which bill to pay, will you reach beyond that and search for me? Will you still tithe to me? Will you believe that I will make a way? Oh, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that we should enter into his gate, leaving all of the worldly mess behind us, So I got to lay this down right here because now I need to go and enter into the gate. And as I enter into the gate, God's tabernacle, I need to enter with thanksgiving. Oh, I made an eat today, but I need to thank him for being alive. I may didn't get that transportation today that I was looking forward to. I need to thank God that tomorrow is another day. I need to enter into the gates with thanksgiving. And then I need to move forth and enter into his court. And I need to just praise him. I need to enter with praise. I need to enter by giving thanks to him, by praising his name. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Lord is good. And I know that maybe not like my friends said they would love me forever, my spouse would love me forever, but death can separate that, and many things in life can separate that love. Your child said they may love you forever, but something may come around that they don't like and they not love you. But why do I praise him? Because his love endures forever. I need to be loved forever. Can you admit that to yourself, that you need to be loved forever? Let me say, I don't need anybody. I don't need anything from anybody. But I beg to differ. We need to be loved. Not a temporary love, but we need to be loved forever. And his faithfulness, only through his faith, continues through all generations. It's not just good in my time, but this is the same faithfulness that was good for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the same faithfulness that was good for my great-grandmother and her mother and her mother's mother. The same faithfulness that was good for my grandmother, my mother, and myself. It's the same faithfulness that is good for my daughter, and her daughter, for all generations. May God bless the reader, the hearer, and of the doer of his precious word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Dear Father, we come to you just saying thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank you. Thank you just for hearing our prayers. Thank you for receiving our prayers. Thank you for honoring our prayers and answering our prayers. Thank you. Just thank you for being around us like the walls around Jerusalem. In the midst of all the things that we're doing that shouldn't be doing, saying that shouldn't be said, things that we see that we shouldn't be looking at, places that we go that we shouldn't be going, you're still God on the throne. You're still merciful. You're still today, yesterday, today, and forevermore, and I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, because forgiving, thank you for giving us all of your attention. I thank you. I thank you, God, just for being who you are. I thank you, God, for your presence. I thank you, God, for your love. I thank you, Lord Jesus. And I ask that I may decrease and that you may increase and speak your word, your living word, your word that is the sword, that as we're on this battlefield today, it's our defender, your sword. It defends us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word. Be present in your life right now. May my tongue speak your words. Use me as your vessel. Oh, in the mighty name of Yeshua, I just thank you for your overflowing peace right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God is good, and I thank him for his Holy Spirit. I thank him just for so many things. We praise you, God. I praise you. I bow down before you and I praise you. Hallelujah. There is none like you. I lift up my eyes to you and I praise you. Your glory, you're magnificent. Praise you. I glorify your name. I lift your name on high. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you. We praise you, God. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Christian friendship. Christian friendship. Have you ever wondered how to develop friendship with other Christians? Have you ever wondered about the importance of having Christian friendship? Christian friendship. Unless we're going to read today. We're going to do some reading today to get ourselves just into it so we can understand more about Christian friendship. And I know that we all have different things that testimonies about our friendship, people we've met in on our Christian walk, and how it has strengthened us, it's brought us to new places of beginning. Some of us can testify and say that if it had not been for the friendship of someone else, where would we have been? So the friendship. Hallelujah. I thank God for friendship. And the relationship with Christ, he will direct. And when you least expect it, he will send someone your way just to know that you are not alone, just to have a ear that you can say, whoa, I'm on that same page in my life. Whoa, God is speaking to me in that same way. And you get to sit and reveal things to each other. And you become to the point that you become accountable to each other for things that are going on in life. Because true friendship, you should be able to have someone that you are accountable to. One of the benefits of having true friendship. Christian friendship. If you have no one in your life that can tell you, check you on your issues of life, or check with you to see how are you growing in different areas, if you have no one in your life, you're stuck. You are stuck. Christian friendship is very important. We need to be accountable to each other. We need to watch the company that we keep. Because our flesh only wants to identify and keep company with those who are in agreement with the flesh. However, when God sets a Christian friendship before you, you're not going to always be in agreement. Because we need someone who can stand and say, you are weak in this area. How are you growing? I don't see any growth. What are you doing to grow? Well, we need to pray in a different area. We need someone to stand there and say, I have shown up to see the growth in this area. Look what God has done for you. Testify to me a little bit and tell me just what, how he moved you from there to where you're at now. See, it helps you to become even stronger. In Hebrews 10:24, it tells us that, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Hallelujah. The believers are called to think about how to help other believers. How to help other believers live right. Your Christian friendship. This not only applies to attending church, sister, where have you been? I haven't noticed that you're not in church. Sister, is there something else? I know you had this need. How's that going? But it also pertains to just being involved in small groups. That you know this is your group of people that you right now are, you're responsible for. You know that their child was not doing the right things, and you know that you're in, she's in prayer. So you join in together in prayer with this sister in this area, and it's a small group of you maybe. And then that small group reaches out and touch another group. Christian friendship. The importance of having Christian friendship is what we're speaking on. I'm Evangelist Vaughn Dumas, and we're here with Tri-Anointed Ministries on Blog Talk Radio. We invite you to call in. And the call-in number is 646-652-4916. Again, that number is 646-652-4916. And we're just talking about the benefits and the importance of Christian friendship, being held accountable to each other. See, believers gather so that they can help one another and be accountable to one another. A lot of times, believers, we find ourselves that we want to gather to help, but we don't want to do the latter part and be held accountable. So then our flesh gets all riled up, and we scratch off some of the dirt off of the flesh, and it doesn't like to see the sunlight. It wants to stay in the darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, a good partner will not let you slip certain things. A good partner, a good friendship will just not let you slack off when you know you're supposed to be in prayer, but will force you to go ahead and take that extra mile, to do that extra step. And when you get stuck, a good Christian friend will help you finish whatever it is that you're doing. Again, a good Christian friend will hold you accountable. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. See, the word fault means side slip, transgression, your sin. Notice that it does not say to confess your fault to your pastor. See, your pastor is not the only one you are accountable to, but there should be other believers in your life that you are accountable to. Amen? If you're married, then your accountability partner should be your spouse. If you're not married, then there should be someone of the same gender who can come to you and ask you, how are you doing in this issue without you biting their head off? It should be someone who can come to you and say, do you need more prayer in this area? What else can I do to move you along in this area? Without you being fleshly and turning against them. It should be someone that you will tend to tell the truth to, someone that you can be honest with. You don't need to tell everyone your business, but you do need to be accountable to someone who can help you, someone who can provoke you, someone who can stir up that fire inside of you. And it may make you mad, but after them, you should be able to think about the situation. Someone who can provoke you to come out and love yourself, to love others. Someone who can provoke you to show good works in your life. Someone to provoke you. Who's provoking you in your life right now? What Christian friend is trying to be a friend to you that you're turning your back on today? Who is it that's got you all riled up? You said they're all up in my business. Are they trying to hold you accountable? Do you know that the person that you're praying out of your life may be just who God has sent in your life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. Unbelievers cannot be hanging buddies. I know that's a tough one, because when you come out of the trash that you was covered in, you turn and look. You see it in all different things. I see it in basketball players, football players, a lot of celebrities. They get to a status where they should be considered to another level. However, they keep running back, looking back from where they came, and they get stuck there, not to grow from where they came from, because you don't want to forget your past. You're doomed to repeat your past. And so they keep repeating. They keep trying to hang out in Lodabar when God has moved them to another level here now. And the enemy will lie and tell you all kind of tricks and trades to try to make you feel guilty because you're at another level. And he said, you're looking down, you're forgetting about them, but he doesn't want you to see that if you just keep your eyes on God, he will help you bring those out of Lodabar. He's not intended for you to return yourself and live in that status, and it never works when you try it on your own. So hang out with unbelievers as your buddies. I'm not saying you turn your nose to them, but it's the faith, it's the love walk that you're walking that's going to get their attention to come to Christ. It's not you hanging out with them in the crack house. Oh, but I don't do crack. I'm just hanging out with my buddy. Oh, I don't drink. I just go to the bar with my buddy. Oh, I'm not the one who's the smoker. I just sit on the smoker's mountain with everybody because that's what my buddies are. No, I don't cheat on my spouse. I'm just hanging out with my buddy and his mistress with her man toy. Unbelievers cannot be your hanging buddies. And if they are, it would not be long before you are living in sin just as they are. You also cannot keep company with those struggling with the sinful area, whether they are in believer status or unbeliever status. You might say, I can't cut that person off. That person's family. Or she's an old college buddy. But you cannot minister to that person while you're slipping into the same sin that they are. You're both entrapped in the same sin. The very same sin in which he or she is entrapped. Now you're entrapped. How are you going to minister to that person? How would you minister to a person when you're drunk? But you see this person here now has gave up on raising their kids, has gave up on living life, has gave up on their spouse, has gave up on their job, have gave up on even coming outside anymore. They just want to endeavor themselves in this whatever it is. How are you going to minister to them when they say, well, you're doing the same thing here with me? You're bringing me the drugs. You're introducing me to married men. You just can't do it. If you have a friend who gossips about other people, and every time you talk to them, it's not long before they start talking about someone. If you continue to listen to that, before you know it, you'll start to join in. You must realize you cannot spend your time sinning like that. You must make that conscious decision that I will not spend my life sinning like that. You have to cut them off for their own good, for your own good. Hallelujah. You can't say that you can never be around unbelievers, because if that was the case, you would have to leave the planet. Unbelievers are not living right, but you cannot reach them with that attitude. You must operate in love in order to reach them. But keep in mind that you must maintain boundaries. God sets these boundaries because he wants his best for your life. He does not want you to go through things that you do not have to go through. So you're not Superman. You're not Superwoman. You can be knocked down. So Christian friendship is great. You need a Christian friend. You need to be accountable. You need to watch the company you keep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read for a minute in Acts. Hallelujah. Let's read in Acts 14 and 21. Hallelujah. We're going to read a little bit about that, and then we're going to go right on over to Ephesians. But let's start with Acts first. Acts 14 and 21 and 22. All right. Read. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. And this is the return to Antioch and Cyrus. Then they returned to Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Going now to Ephesians 2 and 19. Ephesians 2 and 19. So we're going to go to the right. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. I should have had mine over there, but this is just a scripture. I just really wanted to read really quickly here. And here we go. All right, 2 and 19 for Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 19 is where we're going to start on that one. And it reads, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. That's who you are. You're no longer foreigners. You're no longer aliens. But now that you are a new believer, you're a Christian, you are a fellow citizen. That's why you have to separate yourself. In order to help the non-believer, you must separate yourself. Parents, in order to separate and help your loved ones, your own children, yes, many times you have to move away from them. Pull away from them. Hallelujah. Because you are a new creature in Christ. And if you allow yourself, that spirit will come and take over. I'm telling you, whatever that non-believer, if you haven't been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and confessed your sins and come up saying, I'm on a new life, I'm starting a new life, wash me, I was born into sin. Baptism is just that you were born into sin. And you want to be washed clean. You want to come up as a new Christian. You want a new walk, a new chance. You want to start something new. Born into sin, but now you're covered by the blood. That's what baptism is. Hallelujah. Will you sin again now that you have been washed by the blood? Yes, but you don't have to live in sin. You can confess your sins. Hallelujah. And be cleansed. So you are fellowship citizens with God's people. You're members of God's household. And we need to start looking at ourselves like that. That regardless of it looks like we're sinking, we need to remember that Ephesians 2 and 19 tells us, well, 20 tells us that we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. We got good foundation. It felt like you're falling down. Remember, I'm standing on good foundation. I am a Christian of Christ. I'm standing on good foundation. Hallelujah. See, God never intended for us to struggle life through life alone. You notice a pattern in the scriptures. God provided friends for our support during tough times. King David turned to his dear friend Jonathan. Hallelujah. When Naomi lost her husband and son,
She leaned on her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And even Jesus, when he felt anxious about dying on the cross, he asked his three closest friends, Peter, James, and John, to come pray with him. Hallelujah. Come pray with him. Who is it that you have that God has placed in your life that comes to you and holds you accountable? Comes to you that in your time that when you need to confess, you can let them know, I have sinned in this way. I have not been, I don't have strength in this area. Hallelujah. Who is it that can rile you up and push your buttons and tell you, you know you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing? Hallelujah. And you can be able to accept that. It may roll up something inside of you, but you go home and accept and say, well, I know that that's my friend. I didn't know that she was, I wasn't even noticing that no one could see this in my life. But who is it that God speaks through to get to you? That's what I'm saying. See, our friends share our joy and they share our sorrows. Our friends pray for us. Friends balance us out. I don't care how big our heads get. We get titles in front of you, and some say, I'm going to call you evangelist this, I'm going to call you apostle this, I'm going to call you president this, I'm going to call you leader this, minister this, pastor this. But who can just come straight out and call you Vaughn? Who can come straight to you and just call you my sister, my brother? Here's what I see going on in your life. From the outside looking in, here's what I'm seeing. Is this what you're trying to display to others? Many times I've had to stop and say, no, it's not. That's not what I'm trying to display at all. Is that what you're seeing? No, let me change that. No, that's not what I'm not going. That's not what I'm trying to portray to you. But I can't stop and get upset and say, you're seeing this. What do you mean that's what you're seeing? Well, maybe it's just your eyes. Maybe you're just seeing what you want to see. But I have people in my life that can come and tell me that I can trust, I can hold on to. I may can't respond immediately, but I can tell them one thing. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Let me work on it. Then check back with me to see just any improvements. Do you still see that going on in my life? Do you still see me portraying that same image that you saw before? Holding me accountable, stirring up something in me that God is refusing to let lie dormant. Hallelujah. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be pushed. Hallelujah. So again, friends, they share with us and our joys. They share with us and our sorrows. They share with us. They keep us balanced out. They pray for us. They pray with us. They help us see beyond our immediate circumstances to God's grand sweeping plan. He has a grand sweeping plan. And when we come into Christian friendship together, our friends help us to see beyond the immediate circumstance that we're in, but they help us to see God's grand sweeping plan for our life. And together that brings us closer. So we now can do the same thing for our friends. And we know what our friends need. I know what my friends need. I know which friend needs to be comforted in different ways. I know how to say things to one friend that my other friend may not accept it in that way. I know how to say it to her. I know when I have revoked or pushed something in her, stirred something up in her, that it's going to take her a few days to actually get together and start working on it. Because it's going to take her a couple of days just to come unmet. But she always comes back and says, now that I've had a couple of days to think about and get over the shock of what you said to me, God has had to begin to reveal some things in me that I never even knew. And then we watch her grow and get to a higher level in the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. And then in return, she can do the same thing to me. The same thing to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we do the same for our friends, and we do need our Christian friendship. How to develop the friendship with other Christians? You got to be a good friend. Be able to listen. Be able to hear. And then be able to be a doer. Let your Christian friends see you doing things. Forget about over and over again, I hear it and I'm not listening to it. Do it. Be a good friend to receive a good friend. Hallelujah. Take your heart off your sleeves. Tough flesh. I'm not going to let you. Flesh gets cut. It gets bruised. But the spirit is strong. God did not give you a weak spirit. Tell the spirit when it, you're in control of this flesh. You be the decider of how we're going to feel about this and what we're going to do about this today. The importance of having good friendship. So, do we need Christian friends? We truly do. Because when we truly love Jesus more than anything else, and that's what we need, a lot of the times we get woken, born again, and we get set free in just a few areas, and then we're still got strongholds in 90% of our life, but we saw a breakthrough in 10%, and that's all that we're holding on to. But a good friend will push you and say, no, you're not through yet. You're going to go through those rough roads. All ahead, you see all that valley up there? You see all those thickets and thorns? You got to go through there. And I know you may be afraid and it's comfortable sitting on this side. But God has a great plan for you. And I, as your Christian friend, have been put into your life to push you, to make sure that you go through there. Yeah, you don't want to hear it. Yeah, it's not going to feel good to you. Yeah, you're not going to understand why you're crying on days, why you're happy on others. But you're going to go through there, and I'm going to push you in that direction. Hallelujah. When we truly love Jesus more than anything else, then we want to be able to share what's most important to us with our closest friends. With our closest friends. We've got to learn to love Jesus more than anything else. More than the next breath that you take. Love Jesus more than anything else. And it's a learning process. But when you get there, or even where you're at now, you got to want to be able to share what's most important with your closest friend. Hallelujah. You ever hear is a lot of times in my ministry and different pastors and leaders, speakers and teachers, as they're speaking, they reveal things about their life that they've been through. And they tell some of their secrets of their personal things because we're spreading the good news and we want to open up our lives for you to see the good, the bad, the ugly. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't even intend to tell you some of the things, but God said, share this with them. Share the relationships that's going on in your life if I've not always been positive. Share that every word that you speak to someone is not always received. Share those things, even your loved ones. Any preacher or teacher will tell you some of the hardest people to minister to is your loved ones. The enemy will work through them like he will work through you. But guess what? You've got to still preach it. Whether they like you, don't like you, you still have got to do what the word says. Spread the good news. Live your life accordingly before them. It doesn't mean you got to be a pushover. It doesn't mean that you got to not to accept things that God wouldn't want you to accept. We sometimes, as ministers and leaders, we allow ourselves to be ran over or to take more. But some things God doesn't want you to stand idle by. He wants you to be a what you are, a leader. Leaders don't let the ones around them flat and not say anything about it. So stay with it. But you need a good friend that you can go to and say, I pushed this person in this area. Then I'm willing to go. But you need somebody. Where do you go? You need a friend that you can go to, that you can run to, that you can talk to, that'll pray with you on your behalf. Hallelujah. So yes, we do. Only other believers can fully understand our passion for Christ. Only other believers can fully understand our passion for Christ. Because if not, they will come to you and tell you, why are you so getting so involved in that? You know, yeah, I love the Lord too, but you go overbound. You got too much going on. You're trying too much. Only other believers can understand, your love, can understand your job, your responsibility in God. Only other believers. So when you're hanging out with your friends who are not believers, your friends who are new babes, and you're expecting them to understand what you understand about God, it's no wonder that you find yourself now doing the same thing that they're doing. Because, again, you are hanging out with the wrong ones, and you can't blame them. They're just doing what they know to do. But you, on the other hand, you know better. You're learning right now. You need Christian friendship. You said, but they're always trying to hold me accountable for something. You need to be held accountable. You need to be held accountable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to be held accountable. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you. So, let's face it. I need you. You need me. We need each other. And that's just what God had in mind. That's just what God had in mind. So in your personal application, how have you felt encouragement from other Christians? You need to be encouraged by other Christians. How have you felt encouragement by other Christians? And who can you encourage in their faith walk today? Who is it today that you can encourage in your faith walk today, in their faith walk today? For a more in-depth study, I invite you to read Proverbs 27 and 17. That's Proverbs 27 and 17. And Acts 11, 23 and 24. Acts 11, 23 and 24. Our closing word tonight is the greatest love a person can show is to die for his friend. See, you are my friend. If you do what I command you, I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I call you friend, because I have made known to you everything I heard from my Father. Let's read it again. We're reading from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 13 through 15, and they read again. The greatest love a person can show is to die for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you servants,
because a servant does not know what his master is doing. He said, but I call you friends because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. He said, I keep nothing from you. I have came and made known to you everything that I hear from my Father. So now you know what I know. So I have no need to call you servant any longer. I now call you friend. So my friends today, I leave with you. We know the importance of a friend. All of us need friends, don't we? Whether or not you are a friendly could determine whether or not someone hears about Jesus Christ. So whether or not you are friendly could determine whether or not someone hears about Jesus Christ. So why are you figuring I'm not going to say anything to that person? Why are they looking at me? I'm not even going to acknowledge them. Your friendliness or not could then be determining whether they hear about Jesus Christ or not. Your handshake, your warmth, your walk, your friendliness could make the difference in someone's life today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, your peace, and your power. Thank you for your knowledge. May we begin to look around us and appreciate our Christian friendship. Appreciate the ones that are holding us accountable as we push through, to go through until we reach that great plan that you have for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your friendship in our lives. Thank you for sharing with us your Father's plan. Until we meet again, we say thank you for loving us all. Be with us and around us like the walls around Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you for joining us here another day as we have got some great insight into our Christian friendship. I remind you all, you can reach me at walkwithmelord@yahoo.com or walkwithmegod@aol.com. My phone number is 260-264-5287. That is 210 area code. Again, it is 210 area code 264-5287. You can also, at any time, day and night, call into the prayer line if you're needing prayer. The International Empower Movement has a prayer line, trying to get it up 24 hours a day. If you're interested in being a prayer intercessor, a prayer warrior, please contact me so we can get you in touch with the correct people for the Empower Network. It is just a network for the prayer lines. We have many different ministries in the network. But for the prayer line, it is actually just for you to be on there to help someone in prayer. Or if you're needing prayer anytime, day or night, the number is area 218-339-4300. It will ask you for an access code. If you put in the code of 360777, pound, the pound must be included. 360777 pound, you can reach a prayer partner 24 hours a day. You don't have to give your name. You don't have to say a word. You can just listen to other testimonies. You can pray in your heart for the ones that is asking for prayer. You can give a praise request. However it is that God uses you or you're in need of God's love, we are there for the Empower Network for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On November 7th here in San Antonio, Texas, we will be having a chapter meeting for the Empower Network, and we will have some great speakers and some great fun. We invite anyone who's interested. It is a free service. Please give us a call again at 210-264-5287. If you're in the city or visiting the city around that time, you're more than welcome to come. We will make you feel welcome, and I promise you God will show up and show out as always. So God bless you and keep you. Again, I am Evangelist Von Dumas with the Tri-Anointed Ministries, And we love you. We love the word. We love speaking with you. And we never, ever, ever want to leave a broadcast without doing the most important thing in your life today. Hallelujah. And by you accepting Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the person around you's life. Whoever you speak to next needs to know that they're speaking to a woman, a man, a boy, a girl of Christ. And I remind you, Christ, Jesus himself, was a child filled with the Spirit. But God used all kind of small children. Hallelujah. It was kings and they was teenagers, okay? So don't think, oh, I'm only 18 years old and I should be doing living the world right now. I'm not ready for Christ yet. Because Christ uses you when you're ready to be used. Because if you get into that mindset, you will find yourself 30 years old and you still ain't there yet. You'll find yourself 60 years old and you're still not there yet. Unfortunately, you will find yourself at 90 years of age and you still have not reached that point yet that you're ready to receive the word of Christ. You will leave here, die and be buried, and still have not reached the point that you need Jesus Christ. You will lie in hell in torment before you realize, I need the voice, the hand of Jesus in my life, but it will then be too late. So if you have not prayed the prayer of salvation, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord, the personal Savior, I would like to take this opportunity to introduce you to the greatest friend you'll ever have. And as you say these words, if you believe them in your heart, you will be born again, according to Romans 10:9-10. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord in Jesus' name. I pray, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, congratulations, my sisters and brothers, congratulations. All heaven is excited and saying congratulations to you. Do you feel the power of the Lord? Something is different inside of you. Congratulations. You are now a new creature in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the New Testament says, it said now the old things, whatever it was you did yesterday, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. All things are new right now. Behold, all things are new. Friends, you have a whole new life with Jesus to look forward to starting right now. Your slate is clean before God. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice and love for you. Let me know of your decision to follow Christ. I'll be more than happy to send you out a Bible. Anything you need to help you on your Christian walk. Christ is thinking about you, and he only wants the best for your life. God bless you and keep you. God bless you and hold you real close to him. In the mighty name of Jesus, until we meet again, God bless you. You have a great night. God is God. God is your God. He's your personal God. Get excited about your personal God. Amen? Amen. Good night.